So the story goes like this. Rabbi Levin, somewhere in 1985, goes off on shlichut. Got married, he was for a year in Kollel, goes off on shlichut with his wife to Palo Alto, California. And he had a very difficult time. Very, very difficult. He didn't feel that he was getting anywhere. In fact, in his words, I had nobody to talk to. I try to share words of Yiddishkeit. Indifference. The people in the Bay Area were not interested in Jewish spirituality whatsoever. And I felt that I was getting nowhere. And I was tremendously frustrated. Frustrated by my lack of success. Frustrated by my inability to make a dent. And I started to question whether there was any value to me being in Palo Alto altogether. I was an utter dismal failure. He says, Pesach that year, Pesach 1986, I had no reason to stay in Palo Alto. I came to Crown Heights. I figured maybe I'll be in the environment of the Rebbe, I'll get some inspiration. I'll be with family for Pesach. So he went for Pesach 1986 to Crown Heights, Brooklyn. And there he was with family, and that was very nice, but the niggling worry about his future and the anxiety about his lack of success and his projected continued failings really didn't give him respite. And it bothered him. It bothered him a lot over Pesach. It continued to eat away at him. He told me that on Matzoy Pesach, on the evening after the last day of Pesach, when the Rebbe would stand for hours and hours, as I shared with you recently, and pour a little bit of wine from his own Kiddush cup for each and every one to have some, to share the cup of blessing, he walked by the Rebbe, and the Rebbe gave him what he felt was a more meaningful look. The Rebbe gave him a small bottle of wine, which he felt was a little bit of encouragement, but still he was very down on himself. And he didn't know how going back to Palo Alto after Pesach would be any different than before Pesach. Pesach ends, and now it's the next Shabbos. He's at the Fabringen, and he could barely listen to what the Rebbe is saying. He's consumed by his circumstances. And he's thinking to himself, you know, before the Rebbe had the heart attack in 1977, the Rebbe would be available 3 nights a week, all night, till the last person came. And anybody can go into the Rebbe's study, and anybody can ask for whatever they needed. And this is before the dollars had started. The dollars hadn't yet begun on a regular basis. And he felt the Rebbe was not available to him. And he thought to himself, if only I could just go into the Rebbe's study for just a few minutes, I would be able to discuss my situation with the Rebbe. Surely the Rebbe would give me an answer, or give me guidance. Somehow things would work out. He tells me, this is what I'm thinking. And then he says, I'm standing at the Fabringen, and I remember that the Rebbe said clearly that if somebody stands at the Fabringen and he takes these words as yechidus, as a personal interview, a personal meeting, personal guidance, then they will be personal guidance. And he says, I'm ruminating on these words, this idea. And he says, I tighten my gartel, and I say to myself, you know what? This is it. This is it. This is my yechidus. Whatever I'm going to hear from the Rebbe now as a chassid, I'm just going to take it a face value, that this is going to be my instructions. And amazingly, as he does that, the Rebbe suddenly changes the topic and speaks words, which I'm going to share with you right now, that are addressed directly to him. Now, how could the Rebbe know what a chassid is thinking in a crowd of thousands of people? I cannot answer those questions. The Rebbe is a Rebbe, a tzaddik. And it's beyond astounding. But I went actually to the I have a sefer, a book in the house, which is records that Fabringen of Shabbos Parshas Achrimes, Mevarchem Achodesh Iyar, of that year, Tavshim Mem Vav, 1986. And it's literally exactly as he described it to me. So what happens is, in the second talk of the Fabringen, which the way the Fabringen is written down in this book is like a subsection 12. Everything is broken into chapters, about 30 chapters in this Fabringen. Chapter 12, the Rebbe is speaking about the fact that each Shabbat influences the next Shabbat. And he says, so this is the Shabbat that's after Pesach, so it's influenced by the Shabbat of Chol HaMoed Pesach. And he says, therefore, we can look for inspiration for this Shabbat, not only in the last days of Pesach, but even in the Shabbat before. And the Rebbe goes into this whole very scholarly, profound discussion of proofs that the past Shabbat also affects the next Shabbat. He quotes arcane Kabbalistic teachings about a Shabbat before creation. And then he talks about the Lechem HaPanim, the showbread, And he brings a proof from this that the previous Shabbat is connected to the next Shabbat. And then he relates that to Pesach and relates the showbread to matzah. A whole long discussion. And he says, what does Shabbat Chol Hamoed Pesach talk about? The Haftorah is about an incredible experience by the prophet Ezekiel. That Ezekiel was brought to a valley of dry bones, and God said to him, Ben Adam, son of man, you see dry bones, speak to the dry bones, prophesy to them, convey to them the word of Hashem. And Ezekiel began to speak the word of Hashem, and the dry bones came to life. And the Rebbe says this is a precursor, as the Talmud, Masechet Sanhedrin, page 92, talks about the resuscitation of those who have died, the resurrection, and that these are the Bnei Ephraim, the tribe of rebellious Jews who escaped Egypt prematurely, and they were massacred by the Philistines, and they had remained, the corpses had turned into skeletons, and here Ezekiel is preaching to them, and so this refers to the resurrection, the resuscitation of the dead, and the Rebbe talks about this, and he talks about Mashiach, and two levels of Mashiach. There's when Mashiach first comes, there isn't really a massive shift, and then there's the major switch, the major change in life as we know it, when there's the resuscitation of the dead, and we're reunited with our past, and that's how the Fabringen goes. After this, the Rebbe says a mimer, which is a mimer which later on was edited, and it's all about the concept of resuscitation of the dead, Chias HaMesa. In the fourth sicha, the fourth talk, the Rebbe now talks, he says, I'm going to do what I usually do, I'm going to talk about Rashi and the Parsha. And unusually, this time, he talks about not one, not two, but three Rashis. Then he says, I'm going to talk about something that my father wrote in his commentary, in his notes, that he, in glosses of the Zohar, and the Rebbe mentions that. Then the Rebbe says, I'm going to talk about the daily Rambam. He talks about not one, not two, but three points in the Rambam. Two in the Rambam for this Shabbos, one in the Rambam of the previous Shabbos. And this is where, all of a sudden, the Fabringen switches, where the Rebbe starts talking about something that he had discussed an hour and a half earlier. And this is the moment Rabbi Levin decides, okay, now he's going to tighten his gartel, and he's going to make this his Yechidus. The Rebbe says, you know, I want to share with you an amazing lesson in the service of Hashem from the Haftorah of last week's Shabbos. And in the Fabringen, it totally doesn't fit with the flow. I mean, this is like out of nowhere. This is something the Rebbe talked about already in the second talk. It was developed, it was closed, there was a mimer, there was a whole slew of new subjects open, and suddenly out of the blue, and it's printed this way, suddenly out of the blue, the Rebbe's talking. And here Rabbi Levin says, I start literally to freak out. The Rebbe is talking to me directly. He says, here we have the prophet Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel is taken out to this valley, these dry bones, and he's told, prophesize, speak the word of Hashem. And the Rebbe says, there's an amazing lesson for our generation. And he says, there are people who say, how could you go out there and talk to these dried out Jews, to Jews who are distant from Yiddishkeit, to Jews who are, proverbially speaking, dry bones. They have no sinew, they have no flesh, there's no skin, there's nothing there. A bare remnant, they barely know the Jewish. First bring them back to life. First, so to speak, build them up. Then you can speak words of Hashem. And the person says, my parents didn't do this. My grandparents didn't do this. So the Rebbe says, your parents and grandparents, when we say Maase Avot, that we should do what our parents and grandparents did, we mean what the Torah says we should do. The Rebbe says, what greater Maase Avotenu, what greater act of our ancestors than to look into the Bible itself, to look into the Tanakh itself? And here we have the prophet Ezekiel, who is the prophet who's coming to speak, to uplift, to inspire, to prophesize, to communicate with the Jewish people living in Babylon in the exile. And he says here, Ezekiel is shown a valley filled with bones. What does God say to him? He says to him, share the word of Hashem. Speak the word of Hashem to the dry bones. And here, Rabbi Levin said to him, he remembers, the Rebbe gave like, almost like screamed, Ben Adam, a mensch bist du? Are you a mensch? If you're a mensch, and he said it shook him to his core, the Rebbe said that, a mensch bist du? Are you a mensch? If you're a mensch, a Ben Adam, go ahead, do what you have to do. And here, The Rebbe goes on to say, you're dealing with Atzomas Hayavesh's dried bones. These are people who know nothing about their Judaism. Not only they don't know the ABCs of Judaism, they don't even know the Aleph and Beis, literally. They couldn't pick out an Aleph from a Beis. They know nothing. So how do you deal with this? The Rebbe said, how do you deal with it? Exactly the way the prophet Ezekiel dealt with it. You speak words of Torah. Everybody you meet, you speak words of Torah. And the Rebbe went on to say that a person might think that it means you choose one skeleton. You choose one lost Jew and you put all your effort on him. You say, I'm going to try to bring this Jew back into the fold, try to give him a little warmth, a little passion, a little fervor, a little knowledge, a little education, and try to change one person's life. The Rebbe said, it's not what God told Ezekiel. He said, go and speak to the valley. It's filled with bones, filled with skeletons. And what happened? Ezekiel did it. He went and he spoke. What happened? And God brought these skeletons back to life. Legions. Legions of people came back to life. And the Rebbe said that the conclusion of the Haftorah, the way the prophecy ends, is actually an empowerment and a promise to us today. That if we will speak words of Hashem to everybody, not just to one person, to the masses, you speak the words of Hashem, that you will see that they will suddenly come back to life. And the Rebbe said here, spoke about shlichus. Rabbi Levin was a shliach who felt he was failing in his shlichus. The Rebbe said that if you will fulfill the shlichus of Hashem, then you will see the promise of Hashem will come true. And that you will be able to resurrect, to bring back to life legions, an army of Yidden. And the Rebbe said, and with that army, you will greet Mashiach. Now I have to tell you, Rabbi Levin said to me, this literally blew his mind. The Rebbe was speaking directly to him. He said, I went home to Palo Alto and I changed my attitude. I didn't see dry bones. I saw opportunities. Every person I met, I would speak words of Hashem. Whenever I had an opportunity to speak to a crowd, I'd spoke words of Hashem. I spoke the words of Chassidus. I spoke the words of Jewish spirituality, of the highest level of esoteric and mystical teaching brought down into the rubric of everyday life. And he said, everything changed. And the rest is history, as they say, because it's an amazing, beautiful community, a thriving Jewish community in Palo Alto, with many shuls today. And there are many, many shluchim all around the Bay Area. And there's tremendous amount of Yiddishkeit that's been planted and so much blossoming that has taken place. And these are the armies, my friends, that together, every little place where we go, Jewish communities come together and people start to rediscover the Yiddishkeit. And that's how we're going to go and greet Mashiach. It's an amazing story. It's an amazing story on so many levels. It's directly connected to Shabbos Chol Hamoed. And I think it's a lesson for all of us. We may feel isolated and apart. We can still speak.